So this is part two of the message we started last week, where we were talking about four questions about condemnation. We're trying to answer these four questions. The four questions are: who accuses us or condemns us? Who tracks our sins, keeps up with our sins? What happens when God forgives us? And the fourth question is, who has to face final judgment before God? Should we be afraid of that or not? And last time we covered the first two questions, and we looked at scriptures out of the Old Testament, out of the New Testament, and there were, I think, four things that were just abundantly clear from last week's scriptures. The first thing is that angels do not tattle on us to God. They are not keeping up with our sins, and they're not telling God about our sins. The second thing is that we learned is the Father does not mark our iniquities against us. God is love, and love does not take into account a wrong suffered. The third thing we learned was that Jesus did not come into the world to judge or condemn the world, but he came into the world so that we might be forgiven. And as a matter of fact, the scripture was very clear. Jesus does not count men's sins against them. And then the fourth thing we learned is it is the devil who keeps track or takes the inventory of our sins. The word Satan in Hebrew really just means accuser. And so it is the accuser who accuses us before God. Now, last time we talked about how we humans love to condemn ourselves, we love to condemn other humans, and the devil loves to condemn us, and we also learned that God never condemns us. So when you're feeling condemned, when you're feeling ashamed, unforgiven, embarrassed about something that you did, that's not God reminding you of your sins or your mistakes. That's either you or some other human being reminding you about what you did wrong, or it's the devil trying to remind you about your shortcomings. I mean, this is what he loves to do. Are you plodding along under a cloud of condemnation, guilt, and shame? Are you begging God to forgive you over and over for the same sin? My mother, when she was alive, she would call me about once a month. And sometimes she'd be crying, but she would always be very penitent. And she'd be asking me to forgive her for something that she did years ago. Oh, you remember that time when you were 7 years old and you spilled your milk and daddy got so mad and I got so mad and I just spanked you and I shouldn't have done that. You didn't mean to spill your milk and it was just milk and I'm just so, and she'd start crying and talking about how she was begging and pleading for God to forgive her. And it probably wasn't the first time she had called about that particular incident. And every time she'd call, I'd say, Mother, I don't remember that. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Just forget it and let go. God has forgiven you. But she couldn't feel forgiven. She'd just say, I just feel so ashamed. She felt so condemned over this. And last week on the prayer line, as we were teaching, there were other mothers that were saying after the teaching, they were talking about this same kind of thing, how they'd done something to their children, how they so regretted it. They keep going back over it and over it. I'm telling you, the devil loves to beat us up over our mistakes, regardless of what kind of mistake or failing. He loves to condemn us and he loves to beat us down. If that's you and you're being beat down by shame and condemnation, then I've got good news for you today. You can be set free from all the shame and all the condemnation. And the secret to being set free in this is to learn the scriptures and to explore those, to really get them deep down on the inside of you. The scriptures we talked about last week, the scriptures we're talking about this week, scriptures we'll talk about next week. If you're ever going to live a life that is free in the Lord, then you're going to need to come to know and believe every one of these scriptures. And I think that this is one of the most important concepts that you may ever learn in serving God. So, let me tell you how to find these scriptures, okay? You can go to our website. I put them up on our website in a PDF file. Our website is cecmessiah.org. cecmessiah.org. When you go there, on the left-hand side, there will be a navigation pane. Go to sermons and blogs, and there at the top of the list will be, or close to the top of the list, will be four questions about condemnation-scriptures. That's the PDF file. You can click on that. You can download it. You can print it out. I suggest you do that. Print it out every day. Read these scriptures until they get down on the inside of you, and you know that you know that you know that these scriptures are true about you. You can also hear last week's teaching there from the website. You click on that. You can download it or listen. I'll put this teaching up on the website. And I'm also, I put last week's teaching, we'll put this week's teaching up on our YouTube channel, which is Three Streams TV, the number three, Streams, S-T-R-E-A-M-S, TV. Navigate there in YouTube. Please subscribe to our channel, and you can watch last week's teaching, and I'll put this teaching up in a few days. So, let's get to today's subject. Why is it so easy for God to forgive us? He'll forgive anybody, anytime, of anything, right? How can he do that? Isn't God offended by our sin? Well, I know he's certainly saddened by our sin, but you know what? He doesn't mark down, he doesn't keep track of our sins. That's the devil's job. So when we come to God and we ask for forgiveness, it's easy for God to forgive us because he was never counting our sins against us in the first place. He doesn't just cover it over. He actually forgives our sins. We're also going to dig into this question this morning. What happens when God forgives you? And we're going to look at the scriptures that make it very clear that God not only wants to wash away your sins, forget your sins, but he wants you to walk with a clean conscience, knowing that you're forgiven. So turn with me to our first scripture, Isaiah 1, verse 18. Or as some of you might say, Isaiah 1. Some of you in Kenya, maybe Jean and Fiona in Scotland would say Isaiah. It says, scroll down here to verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they will be like wool. I can remember as a teenager, I had a conversation with my granddad, who was a Southern Baptist preacher. I had been saved by then, and we were talking about forgiveness and what it meant. And this is how he described it. He said, well, your sins are like red spots on you, and when you get saved, God covers you with the blood of Jesus, the red blood of Jesus. And so when he looks at you through that red blood, he can't see the spots of sin that are on you. And I thought, well, okay, that sounds reasonable. And I went on and believed that for a while until I started reading some of these scriptures, like these scriptures out of Isaiah. That's not what Isaiah 1:18 says. It says, when God forgives you, he washes away your sins. Imagine, if you will, that I'm wearing a white t-shirt. My wife makes spaghetti and meatballs for lunch, and I spill some pasta sauce on the front of my t-shirt. And so I can't walk around like that, right? So I take the t-shirt off. I go to my wife, can you please wash my t-shirt for me? And so when I do that, she goes out into the garage and she gets a can of white paint. And she takes that t-shirt and she paints over the marinara sauce, the spot that's on my t-shirt, with white paint. Is that how she does that? No. She takes that t-shirt with some OxyClean, throws it in the washer, and it comes out of the washer. Dum! It's clean. I mean, it's completely clean. The stain hasn't been covered over. It's been washed away. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, and we're going to look at verse 25. Isaiah 43:25. There are three interesting parts to this scripture. It says, I, this is God talking, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God says, number one, when I cleanse you, when I forgive your sins, I completely cleanse you. I wipe them out. I erase those sins. And number two, he says, I'm doing it for my sake. I'm doing it because I want to. I'm doing it because I love to see you cleansed and forgiven. And oh, by the way, when I do that, I forget your sins. And I will not remember your sins. Wow, what an amazing scripture. Let me ask you a question about this scripture here. If God forgets your sin, how can God remind you about your sin and judge you for your sin? If he's forgetting it, right? If when you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you, and he forgets your sin, then who might it be that reminds you about your sin? Well, it isn't God. It isn't Jesus. It can only be the devil, the accuser, or it can be yourself or some other human being. Those are the only choices we have, since it's not God or the angels or Jesus. Sometimes people just don't feel forgiven. They ask for forgiveness over and over for the same thing, but unlike God, they haven't forgotten their sin. And with the help of the devil, the accuser, well, they just keep going back over and over and over what they did wrong, and they feel so bad, and they're so sorry, and they're so ashamed, and they're so guilty, and they're so condemned. You're not doing yourself any favors feeling that way, and God's not being proud of you when you do that, okay? It's like cooking on a fire outdoors. And I know some of you on the line this morning were brought up in an environment where many of your meals were prepared on an outdoor fire. And you know how it is. You want the fire to get bigger, you just add more wood. Well, if you keep adding wood, eventually the fire is going to be so big you can't even cook on it. Well, that's the way it is with us. The devil's got this big reservoir of firewood, and he wants to just keep adding the firewood to the fire on our condemnation, so that it'll get bigger and bigger, and we'll just keep going over and over it again until pretty soon it just consumes us. Can you see how silly that is when you do that? God's forgiven you. He's washed away the sin. He's forgotten the sin. And when you bring that same sin before God over and over again, do you know what he's saying? He's going, huh? What are you talking about? I don't remember that. You need to become aware of this trap of the enemy. When you think about something that you've been forgiven of, you know, you were forgiven long ago, when your mind starts churning over what you did and how bad it was, and you need to recognize that right away, okay? It's like a migraine headache. People with migraines tell me that they have a feeling that starts coming on them right before a migraine happens. And they say, you know, if I can catch it right then, I can keep it from becoming a debilitating migraine. That's what you need to do with condemnation and shame. At the very first symptom of shame and guilt and condemnation, you need to stop that right away. Go to the Lord and tell him that that you need help thinking about something else. You know, read over these scriptures from this week and last week. Maybe start some praise music, or maybe call a friend that needs some encouragement. Distract yourself somehow. Do something, but stop going over and over that ancient history of sin. Now, today later, I'm going to pray over everybody, and I want to pray a prayer of deliverance from this kind of condemnation thinking and shame. Turn with me to Psalms 103. Last time we looked at a verse out of Psalms 130. Today we're looking at Psalms 103, and we're looking at verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. This is an interesting illustration. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That means he has removed our transgressions infinitely far from us. Imagine, if you will, you got a globe sitting in front of you, and you start going north on that globe. Eventually you get to the North Pole, and what happens? Now you're going south. And then you keep going, and eventually you're going north again, and then south and north. So you wouldn't say as far as the north is from the south, because it, you know, you keep going back over the same thing. But if you start on that globe and start going east, you just keep going and keep going, and you're always going east. You go infinitely far away in that direction. That's how God forgives our sins. He puts them infinitely far away from us. Let me tell you about my mother and how she was raised. This is my biological mother. I called her mother. This is not my mom, Pastor Jane. Okay, this is my mother. God bless Pastor Jane, right? Mother was raised in an environment of constant criticism. She never did anything right. She never did enough. She told a story about when she was, I think, 8 or 9 years old. She was at a big family gathering, and there were two other girls about her age, nieces, cousins, whatever it was. And everybody was talking about how pretty they were. And so mother goes up to her mother, and she notices this. They're so pretty. Mother, am I pretty? And her mother said, well, you're clean. Well, that just devastated my mother. When we called mother's mother Granny, okay? She didn't like that much, but that's what we called her. She had a devilish, truly devilish system of punishment. This is what she would do. She would save up transgressions over a period of a week or two, whatever mother had done. Now I'm going to give you a whipping for that. And then when the things got full enough, whatever that criteria was, Granny would tell Mother, now go out into the yard and cut a switch from the tree. A switch in Oklahoma language would be a branch, a small twig off a tree that you could use for spanking someone. And so she'd go, okay, cut the switch, bring it in. And then she would lay Mother over her lap with her bare legs there, and she would start rehearsing everything that Mother had done wrong since the last whipping. Okay, remember when you spilled your milk? This is for that. And she'd swat a few times on her bare legs. And then she'd say something like, you know, you do that a lot. What's wrong with you that you spill your milk so often? And then she'd start on the next thing. Well, you remember when you sassed your daddy a few days ago? You shouldn't be talking to him like that. And she'd swat. And she would keep on that way every single infraction, every single sin. And she'd remind her about it and then give her a little spanking. And this would go on and on until Mother had been reminded and punished of every little infraction of the last 2 weeks. Well, Mother grew up under this cloud of guilt and shame. It was hanging over her head like a cloud. And in typical human fashion, Mother's image of God was informed by how her mother had treated her. She was certain that the father was angry with her, that he was disappointed with her, and that because no matter what she did, it was never going to be good enough, that she was just going to stay under this cloud of condemnation. She also learned from this that God never really forgives us, that he punishes us for what we did, and then he reminds us of that sin over and over and over again. Now, as you know, God's discipline is very different from Granny's discipline of my mother. God never mixes discipline and condemnation. God is never condemning you. He's never holding those offenses or failures over your head. His discipline is designed not necessarily to punish you, but to help you come to a place where you don't have to commit that sin again, where you can be truly set free from that. So you don't have to be in bondage. His discipline is intended not to chain you to your sins through condemnation, but to set you free from your sins. And you know, that's what condemnation and shame does. It chains us to our sins and makes it easier for us to repeat our sins. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Over the decades, I counseled and prayed with Mother, eventually showed her these scriptures. She began to understand these things. And later in her life, she began to walk in a lot of freedom from condemnation. But boy, in those early years, it was sad to watch how much depression she walked in because of these things. And you don't have to spend another day under a cloud of condemnation. You don't have to spend another sleepless night where you're praying and pleading for forgiveness. You can be set free from that today. But to do that, you're going to need to read these scriptures and get them down on the inside of you. Now turn to Romans 4. New Testament, Romans 4. And we're going to look at the last verse in Romans 4 and the first verse in Romans 5. So that's Romans 4:25 is where we start. And it says, "He was delivered over because of our transgressions, and he was raised or crucified because of our justification." Now go to chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That word justified there, I had a Sunday school teacher that gave me a good illustration of how to understand the word justified. He said, just think of it this way. When God forgives me, it's just if I'd never sinned. Justified, never sinned. There's another word for that we use. It's called innocent. When God forgives you, he makes you innocent. Turn to Romans 8, verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in our Messiah, Jesus." There is therefore now no condemnation. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to look at the second half of verse 9. And then we're going to look at Hebrews 9:14. So starting in Hebrews 9:9. "Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience." That's what my translation says. He's talking about the Old Testament system of offerings and sacrifices. And where he says perfect in conscience there, that means clear conscience or a clean conscience. In other words, those sin offerings couldn't give you a clean conscience. But look down at verse 14. "How much more will the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" How much more will the blood of Christ, that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, it literally cleans our conscience when we ask for forgiveness. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. "He made him," Jesus, God made Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus." Think about that for a minute. You have been made the righteousness of God. Not only does he clean your conscience, but he makes you his righteousness. How much more innocent can you get than the righteousness of God? If you're not walking in a clear conscience, then you're being robbed of the good life. And let me describe what it means to be innocent, okay? Imagine just for a moment that you never ever sinned. You've never in your life done anything wrong. You've never made a mistake. You've never offended anybody. You've never done anything that you're ashamed of. how would you feel? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd feel light. I'd feel free. I'd feel like I could do anything. Let me tell you how I first understood this concept of innocence, okay? And it happened after I missed several days in a row of praying. You know, I have a normal morning prayer devotional life, and I'd gotten busy and had just kind of missed praying for a few days in a row. And after a few days, what happened was I got kind of reluctant to go to the Lord because I felt ashamed. I had let him down. I had ignored him. I hadn't done my service of prayer. And so I started avoiding the Lord. And I know that some of you can relate to this. You have some sin that you're having a difficult time overcoming. And instead of going to the Lord right away and asking for forgiveness, you start avoiding him. And that's what I was doing. Well, thank goodness, God's not like us, okay? He wasn't holding my lack of prayer against me. He never once condemned me for skipping on my prayer time. I mean, he was sad by what I was doing, but he wasn't holding that against me. And so finally, I finally said, okay, I got to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And I kind of come to my prayer closet with my head down. And, first thing I do is ask for forgiveness because I haven't prayed in the last several days like I should. And you know what? Instantly, he forgave me and he let me feel that forgiveness. And it was like a shock. It was like, oh, wow. And I heard the Lord say, you are now innocent. And I thought, wow, innocent. That means like as if I had never, ever sinned before. And he went on to say this. He said, there has never been a day in your life. Imagine this. There's never been a day in your life that you've missed your prayer time. Imagine that now you have always spent all the time you're supposed to in prayer. How do you feel about spending a little time with me now? And, oh, man, I felt like I weighed about a pound, like I could just float away, you know. I had no trouble praying for a while. And the next morning, I was eager to pray because I was innocent and clean. I was the righteousness of God. I'd never done anything wrong. It was easy to come into the presence of God with him. I was innocent. I could do anything because I had nothing weighing me down. You see what I'm talking about? Now think about this with me for a minute. If you felt like that, if you felt innocent, if you had a completely clean conscience, wouldn't it be easy to resist the temptation to sin? Wouldn't it be easy to love everybody around you? How about tackle any challenge? How about this? Wouldn't it be easy to sleep all night peacefully? Or wouldn't it be easy to pray all night if that's what God called you to do? I mean, you want to feel like that? You want to feel innocent? Well, I got good news for you. Jesus wants you to feel innocent too. That's what Hebrews 9:14 is all about. Let's go back to that for just a minute. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Jesus cleanse your conscience from dead works? Jesus wants so much for you to have a clean conscience and to feel innocent that he poured out his blood in a horrible death so that your conscience could be cleansed when you ask for forgiveness. You don't get a little half measure of covering over your sin, you know. Your sins get washed away completely, and then God declares that you are innocent. He declares that you are his righteousness, and you're now just as if you had never, ever sinned in any way. Well, in a little bit, we're going to pray a prayer of deliverance over you so that you can begin to walk in this innocence because God wants you to be able to know and to feel and to walk in your innocence and your clean conscience. Okay, so next time, I promise, we'll get to who stands before God in the final judgment. Is this going to be an embarrassing time for you or what? And we'll get to that. But we're done for today. Amen.